Back to the National Hockey League and the Stanley Cup playoffs from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Nick Kiprios. Good morning, Kipper.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
You're the only guest that we don't have a come down. Like, after we interview Ice Cube and our adrenaline gets pumped, you're the only guest we'd have that are like, it doesn't come down. We stay on that same level of stardom. This is the only way this works.
That's a good thing.
No, I mean, the people that you rub shoulders with in the last year, you are an A celebrity, you know?
I know. And now I've got about 5 weeks with Elliot Friedman.
Ouch. You're five in. I think you have three left.
Said that with disdain. Did you hear that?
I know.
Gone down a notch or two.
You got to say, like, you went in, you were one of the first guys going to town on the Brad Marchand licking thing, and then it got popular for everybody to criticize it. But the Marc-Andre Fleury finger in Blake Wheeler's ear, this isn't going to get enough. That's disgusting. After sweating through 57 minutes of a game, it's not even like he had a glove on. This makes what Alex Burrows did 7 years ago look like child's play, biting people.
I don't have it in the licking category.
It's a finger and it's an earlobe, though. Come on.
I've got it in the Alex Semin, Washington Capitals, Mark Stahl, New York Ranger fight, or should I say pillow fight? Remember that one a few years ago?
Yeah, it was handbags. It was like two ladies with purses, to be honest.
So it'd be more like a dry Marchand kiss as opposed to a licking? Is that...
The tongue takes everything in life to a higher level. Unfortunately, you know, we're trying to teach our kids that. It doesn't go very well sometimes.
Yeah, tickling... It fits the hockey player of 2018 right now.
Oh, God.
We've got rock, paper, scissors to get off the ice, tickling.
All right.
Come on.
But look, never mind. I mean, it happened at the 57th minute. What happened between minute 40 and minute 57 for Fleury yesterday was off the charts amazing.
Yeah, it's headed towards historical proportions. For Fleury, it's a goaltending clinic right now. And as much as Winnipeg, we believe, still is the deeper team, this is the one position in our game that can be the difference maker, no difference than a pitcher or quarterback, I guess, in football. But he's owning it right now. He'll win this series by himself.
I would bet you also there's nothing Mark Scheifele can do the rest of the way. I mean, he can have a quiet next two games and he is now a superstar. Like, is he not now Dale Hawerchuk in that city? And luck, he's been able, but Hawerchuk kept running into a brick wall with those Edmonton and Calgary teams, Nick, when you played, but we'd all redo that 2011 draft. And Mark Scheifele, who went seven just ahead of Couturier and just behind Zibanejad, he'd go number one. I don't know who would go number two. You can have a great argument about it, but he's the best player. He's the only super-duper star out of that draft with Nugent Hopkins, Landeskog, Huberdeau, and the rest.
And can you imagine that they sent him back the first year? It's like hindsight's 20/20. Turned out to be a genius move by Winnipeg and another year to mature. Not everybody can come in and have the impact of a McDavid or a Matthews in their first year, but no question he is their heart and soul right now.
It has been an absolute treat, not necessarily in his hockey playing, but to see who's the boss. Buff is the boss, my friend. He's picking up two guys, you know, one in each hand, like they're a couple of six packs. He's in charge out there, isn't he? He's real fun to watch.
He is fun to watch, no question. And he's had a great year. We still believe he can be an impact player here for Winnipeg if they're going to come back and turn this thing around. Overall, though, Elliot, I will say that I watch that blue line right now and they're not getting the job done still as a collective group. The first turnover on the goal, unfortunately, with Scheifele is about 6 feet in, but it shouldn't mean that it turns into a breakaway for Marchessault. So I don't know what happened between Morrissey and Trouba, but they got crossed and left in the open path. Enstrom on the Alex Tuck goal got caught, whether or not he was going to change or not. That didn't turn out real well. And then the odd man rushes they gave up in the third period. The game shouldn't have never gotten down to the last minute with an empty net goal. Mm-hmm. Connor Hellebuck is doing everything he can to keep him in the game. He's just not going to outplay Fleury right now. But right now, if I'm Paul Maurice, I want more out of my blue line.
Nick Kypreos, our guest. We got Washington and Tampa tonight from Verizon Center, 8 o'clock Sportsnet CBC. Game 4 goes on there with the Lightning trying to tie it. Let me ask you, we had a good chat yesterday about Vegas as a free agent destination. It's one thing to look at this and we go, oh, we all have fun there for a couple days, few nights, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, et cetera, et cetera. It's another thing for free agents. I get the ocean because I get the three California teams. I even get what Shane Doan can have a ranch that's a million square feet. But will Vegas draw a superstar someday? Will they draw a 30-year-old free agent, top of his game, who's going to get his $8.5-9 million, or a veteran with a young family? It's just, that's not really what it's there for. But does the success help them pull in UFAs?
Didn't Marc-Andre Fleury prove that? Wasn't he a superstar in his prime? It's not an unrestricted free agent, but that guy had a no-move clause.
Yes.
He handpicked Vegas, and he did it 3 months before the draft. So you're watching this guy smile through his mask and stick fingers in people's ear, and he's having the best time in the world. How can UFAs not want to go to Vegas? One other thing, boys, no state tax. Cost of living. Guys will be racing there.
Yeah, real estate is way different than California. So, way different than California to afford a great house.
So John Tavares as a... Is that a possibility?
Listen, why not? Why wouldn't he want to go and try to defend their Stanley Cup win? Right? I believe that a lot of guys would sit there and say that would be an excellent place to play, maximize my dollars, and have a chance to win right now, especially when you have best goalie in the world.
You're buying this team as a team that's going to do this again next year, or a team that's going to have an opportunity to be as good as they are this year next year.
Well, the other thing too is the deep pockets. They were in the running for Erik Karlsson, guys. I mean, they weren't going to give up the assets to get the deal done, but I think they were prepared to sign him to another contract. I think that speaks volumes of where they are as an organization. They believe that they can win now, and they can think that they can have a chance to win again in the near future.
So Marc-Andre, this is really important to point out because we all thought the same. I know I've had conversations with you with long before Vegas was even, I guess we knew they were coming in the league, but long before we thought that him going there was an option. Pittsburgh was kind of, that contract felt like an albatross. That contract felt like bad news for Pittsburgh, even trying to move him to a team. And I don't doubt there's GMs that wish they'd been more aggressive in the last 12 months trying to get him out of Pittsburgh once they realized they were going with Matt Murray. What kind of a deal? He's got one more year left at 575. What has he done? Because not too many 35-year-old free agent goalies get big money. Not too many. Not now. Not post Patrick Waugh or Ed Belfour or Mike Richter. That doesn't happen very often. What's he setting himself up for there? Because no doubt he wants to retire there now.
Yeah, the issue here is what the payroll in Vegas is going to look like for the next after next year. So William Karlsson's coming up in 2 years, and there's a guy may not score 43 goals next year, but he's going to still be commanding probably $7+ million. The other guys are pretty much tied up at five, but I got to think if he's still in his prime and playing remotely like he is now, you're going to be in a position to be asking for $9 million if the cap goes up. Certainly, he can argue that he should get paid more than Carey Price. And no one's going to say no. But it depends on what the structure looks around you, whether you want to stay, whether or not you want to spread the dollars around. A lot of factors in play.